So today we have a very special topic to discuss. What's the topic? Love and lust. Transforming
lust to love.
What is the topic? So I'm not going to speak some philosophy here. We'll just take up a live example from a devotee's life and try to analyze and understand how this can be done. So to practice spirituality, a person should be either of the part of the four sampradayas. So there are four sampradayas, as we have been discussing now from quite some time. So we have Sri Sampradaya. So Sri Sampradaya is followed in here in south, down south, in Tirupati and other places where Lakshmi Devi is the preceding guru. So she teaches the bhakti of Krishna or Vishnu to her disciples. And Ramanujacharya was the lead acharya of this sampradaya. The second sampradaya is Rudra Sampradaya. Now this Rudra Sampradaya comes where it is practiced. Rudra Sampradaya is practiced in some parts of Gujarat. So there is something called as Pushti Marg. So they worship Laddu Gopal. I don't know if you have visited houses of Gujaratis. So they all will have Laddu Gopal in their house. Baby form of Krishna. So they worship baby form of Krishna. And if I'm not wrong, so Rudra Sampradaya basically means the first person in the Sampradaya is Lord Shiva, who gives the knowledge of Lord Krishna, how to worship Lord Krishna to all his subordinates. And one of the lead acharyas in this Sampradaya was Vallabha Acharya. And then the third Sampradaya is Kumara Sampradaya. So Kumara Sampradaya is again followed in some parts of Mathura and Vrindavan. And there the lead acharya, or firstly the lead personalities, are the four Kumaras, the sons of Brahma, like Sanat Kumar and others. So they are the lead, and they teach the bhakti of Krishna to their subordinates. And the lead acharya in this sampradaya is Nimbarka Swami. And then finally comes Brahma Sampradaya. So Brahma Sampradaya, the lead person is Lord Brahma, simple. So Lord Brahma, and in that the lead acharya is Madhvacharya. So you see, these are the four bona fide sampradayas. And if someone is practicing spirituality, he has to be a part of the four sampradayas if he wants to attain perfection in life. If he is not part of any of these four sampradayas, then for sure he will not attain perfection in life. Nowadays there is so much of concoction all around. So many different people are doing different things. Different. Something called as music meditation. You switch on a music and go into trance. Yes. In fact, when Prabhupada, he went to West to preach the message of Bhagavad Gita, the founder acharya of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada, whose deity is here. So when he went there, there was a different thing altogether going. So there, spirituality or going into trance was becoming fully drug addict, high in drugs. So that was spirituality for them. So anything weird, anything a bit weird, that is spirituality for people. But you might call it a spirituality, or you might call it anything for that matter, the person will not be able to attain perfection because there is no proper connection. Right? Like for example, if we want this light to be switched on, there should be a proper connection to the source, the electricity. Right? And this button should be switched on. So if there is no connection, and even if the button is on, so there is no point. Light, the bulb will never get switched on. There will be no light here. So similarly, if there is no connection to the sampradaya, and even if the person is very much inclined to practice bhakti or spirituality, that person will not be able to attain perfection. Right? So this connection is very, very important. Very, very important. Right? So these four sampradayas are the bona fide sampradayas. Which are those? Sri Sampradaya. Where is it followed?
South India.
South India, yes. Not everywhere. We are also in South. Yes. Rudra Sampradaya. Some parts of Gujarat. Kumara Sampradaya, Mathura side, yes. And Brahma Sampradaya. Where is Brahma Sampradaya followed? In ISKCON. So, in ISKCON we follow Brahma Sampradaya. So, our Sampradaya is called as Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So, it's a bona fide line. And in fact, Prabhupada, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, towards the end, he gives all the names in the Brahma Sampradaya, starting from Brahma till Srila Prabhupada. So, on all are there. So, you can read out those names. So, this is the, what do you call it as? This makes it bona fide. You know, when you have all the names of the acharyas in the line, it makes it very bona fide, and we can trust that particular place where you can practice bhakti or spirituality. Right? So today we are going to discuss a personality from Rudra Sampradaya. And this personality, in the line of Vallabhacharya, he appeared in a place near Trichur, so which is situated on the banks of river Krishna. And the spiritual master of this person, his name was Somagiri. And one of the titles given to him was Leela Shuka. This is just information, just hold on. Yes. So now, who was this person? In Andhra Pradesh side, people will be knowing Bilva Mangal Thakur. There are a lot of movies also on this person. So, nice movies are made. I have not seen, I have heard. So, let's hear about this person. What was the entire life story of this person and how this person's lust got transformed into love? And if you feel there is something which you can take home, so you can take it from this story, from this pastime, the real life story of a devotee. Now, Bilva Mangal Thakur, he was born in a very nice Brahmana family. Very nice Brahmana family. His parents were very nice Brahmanas. They were practicing spirituality very nicely. They were practicing bhakti very nicely. They would all get up early in the morning. They would do their entire spiritual practices, so on and so forth. In fact, we also see, you know, in the youth as well, when we were all at home, maybe till 10th standard or something, so we all were very good, nice sadhus. They're directly under the care of parents, no? Suddenly, when the person shifts to engineering or MBBS or whatever, so at that time, all the concoction starts and all the nonsense starts. Then from sadhu, the person becomes asadhu or a dhongi sadhu. Why dhongi sadhu? At home, he still acts as sadhu, no? Because parents always feel, my son is very nice. In fact, they would go around and tell also, you know, my son, he has gone out of the home, but still he has not got into any bad habits. And here this person will be seen, you know, drinking, smoking, so on and so forth. So in this way, we see that even Bilva Mangal Thakur, when he was at home with his parents, he was practicing spirituality very nicely, he was practicing bhakti very nicely. Whatever was told, he'll do. Let's go to temple. No, he'll go to temple and then do this particular yajna, do this particular chanting, whatever. No, he would do. He was personally trained by his parents. Then he got married and, you know, things changed. And unfortunately, with time, he got so much degraded that he got addicted to an association of a prostitute. Her name was Chintamani. Such a nice name, Chintamani. You know what is the meaning of Chintamani? Anyone? No? Paraspathar, you know? You might have heard in some movie. Yes? Chintamani or touchstone. Basically, it is called as touchstone. So, touchstone, it means you take that stone and touch to any metal, that will become gold. So, that is no Chintamani. Stone, right? But it is not available in market nowadays. It was available when the people were pious. Now it is not. Just imagine if you get one. Just imagine. No need of 9-to-5 job or whatever you people are doing. Just go around, search for a metal and touch around. That's it. So this is the meaning of Chintamani. So this prostitute Chintamani is described. She was very, very beautiful. Very beautiful. Don't try to imagine. You'll not be able to. And this personality, Bilva Mangal Thakur, was very much addicted to her. It was a daily ritual for Bilva Mangal Thakur to make sure spend some time with her. Be it daytime, be it afternoon time, be it evening time, be it night time. He wanted to be with her every single day. And he was doing it as a ritual. It's almost like a doctor gives medicine. Isko teen bar lena. No, that's prescription. Something like that he was following. And whenever he used to not meet her, he would go crazy. It's almost like you might have seen some drunkards. If you don't give them alcohol for a day, they go crazy. They'll behave as if they've not eaten food. Have you seen such people? Hope you are not one. Similar case was Billavangal Thakur's. One day, you can imagine, such a serious ceremony was going on. That was the Shraddha ceremony of the father of Billavangal Thakur. Now, Shraddha ceremony, hope you understand. When the father, when the person dies, so oblations are offered, you know, to the forefathers, or you know, this personality who has died. So nowadays there are various concoctions for this also. I heard, you know, from one of my students, so he was saying that there's oblations that has to be offered to my forefathers, and we have to offer flesh in that. So I don't know which flesh and why they would offer. And he said, because that person liked flesh, he liked meat. So we prepare various items and we offer it to him. So this oblation which is offered to the forefathers or the person who has died is that you offer this oblations and he'll get some punya, and suppose if he's there in hell, he's delivered from that place, and then again, you know, he comes to a very good destination, a very good position where he can start practicing bhakti from there. Now just imagine you offer flesh to a person. If he's there in a good position also, that person might go to hell. You never know. Right. So this oblations which is offered, basically Vishnu Prasad is offered, Krishna Prasad is offered. Because Krishna Prasad has that power. After every session you people are so fortunate, you people get Krishna Prasad. So as soon as you put Krishna Prasad in the mouth, there's so much of spiritual credit the person gets. Because this Krishna Prasad is not normal. It is the remnants of Krishna. You can just imagine Krishna is eaten and then, you know, leftover is given to us. So that is Krishna Prasad. So that is the importance. So in the oblations, Krishna Prasad is offered or Vishnu Prasad is offered, not flesh. So here some similar ceremony was happening where proper, authentic, bona fide way this was done. Where the oblations were offered, where Krishna Prasad or Vishnu Prasad was offered in the yajna. So everything was going on and the entire day had passed in the ceremony. It was evening time. Now this Bilva Mangal was sitting there in the yajna and the priest was doing the yajna. Now Bilva Mangal Thakur is going crazy. He's going agitated completely. Why? He has not met. He has not met his beloved. He has not met one person whom he meets every day. He's sitting there and he's going, he's just looking at him. Why this priest is doing so slow? He should fasten. Do it fast, do it fast. This was going on in the mind. And after some time it came to the tongue also. He started saying, haste, 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 fast. What are you doing? So slow. I've got some important appointment. And what was the ceremony that was going on? Shraddha ceremony. You can imagine. Can something be more important than this? But now you can imagine the attraction that Bilva Mangal had for that prostitute Chintamani. Can you imagine the attraction now? This was the attraction that was there. In fact, it is described that in this world, we are attracted to so many things around. So many things. In fact, one of my students, he came to me and he was like, Prabhu, I was traveling in a bus. I was sitting almost towards the end. And a very beautiful girl, she came in, you know, from the front door. And she sat in a place where I could see her very nicely. I was very much attracted to her. But since we attend Saturday evening sessions, I could control myself. I could control myself, and then I was praying to the Lord, and fortunately she got down. So the point is, we get attracted to anything and everything, or any person around, or anything around, which gives us sense gratification, which gives us enjoyment. Right? And in fact, you will not believe, you can observe this for yourself, anything that you see, first thing that you will think is, how can I enjoy this? Correct? Like for example, you see a nice fruit, a nice, say a very juicy strawberry, you know, you see that. And the first thing you see, maybe, you know, your friend is having that and you're thinking, oh, when will I get it? This is the problem, you know, which is there. But where is this problem coming from? This is what we have to understand. So this attraction principle which is there in our heart, wherein we're getting attracted to anything and everything of this world, that is but normal for any jiva, for any spirit soul. That's very normal. But the point is, where is this attraction principle coming from? In the spiritual world, everyone is attracted to Lord Krishna. Every single person. Krishna is the center. And everyone is attracted to Krishna. So for your information, 3/4 of the entire creation of Lord Krishna is spiritual world. And 1/4 is this material world. Just 1/4. So you can imagine now. So that is called as Tripad Vibhuti. That is 3/4. And this is Ekpad. So this is 1/4. Now you can imagine in this world, now there are so many living entities. Now here we are just few. But then if you count the mosquitoes and you count, we don't have cockroaches here. You know, we go out and we count for other animals and insects and so on and so forth. There'll be so many, right? So all these living entities are part of this material world. And everyone are fallen from the spiritual world. Or everyone belongs to spiritual world. And since everyone belongs to spiritual world, that attraction principle is naturally there in the heart. And that attraction principle has to be applied only to Krishna. But now the problem is, we have forgotten who is Krishna. We have forgotten who the person is. But still the attraction principle is there in the heart. Now since we are supposed to get attracted to some person, and now that person is not there in our life, or we have forgotten that person, but still that attraction principle is there, so any person that comes to our life, or anything that comes to our life, we get attracted to that. Understanding? This is how we get attracted to various things of this world. There's one very nice shloka from Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, shloka number 1. Let's see if you can chant with me. Please repeat. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Urdhamulam Madhashakam Ashvattam Prahuravyayam Chandam Siyasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavet. Here Lord Krishna is describing a very unique tree to Arjuna. He is describing a tree which is upside down. What do you mean by upside down? It means the roots are up and the branches are down. Have you seen such a tree anywhere? No? You should have come to our Janmashtami. You know, our IYF team had made such a tree. But you might have seen a reflection of the tree in the water body. So when the tree gets reflected to the water body, what happens? So you're standing this side. So you see the rootstock and you know the branches at the bottom, right? So when you see a tree getting reflected in the water, you're just seeing the reflection. You're not seeing the tree. You're just seeing the reflection. Just seeing the reflection, you can make out there's a tree there somewhere around. Correct? This is what is the conclusion. Similarly, here in this material world, if there is something which exists, that has to be there in the spiritual world. This is the point. Anything that is there in this material world should be there in the spiritual world. But you know what is the problem? The problem is that this tree which is there, that is reflected in an inverted way or perverted way. So whatever is there in the spiritual world, that is reflected to this material world in a perverted way, in the opposite way. Right? So in this way it is reflected. Now, so whatever is there at the top, so in the tree, whatever was there at the top became bottom here. So the branches were there at the top, it became bottom here. Roots were there at the bottom, it became top, right? Similarly, in the spiritual world, you know what is at the top? Love is at the top. Love for Krishna is at the top. And at the bottom is lust. So what do you mean by lust? Lust is a desire for one's own sense gratification. I want to enjoy without Krishna. I want to enjoy. That tendency is lust. Obviously, lust means, you know, some sensual thing also. But in a broader perspective, lust means something which I want to enjoy for myself without acknowledging it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. That is lust. So in the spiritual world, everyone is attracted to Krishna and everyone loves Krishna. That's selfless love. They want to just serve Krishna. That is the mood. And at the bottom, the least thing that can exist in the spiritual world is lust. Doing something for one's own self. Now, in the material world, what will happen? What comes at the top? Lust. And what goes at the bottom? Love. So you ask any person in this world. No, why to ask any person? Ask yourself. Ask yourself, what is there, you know, in our heart? In our heart, most of the time, no, we are lusty. We want to enjoy things around. Right? So this is the principle of attraction. This is the principle of lust. Is it clear to everyone? Is it clear where it originates from? So if that attraction principle which we just discussed has to be applied properly, then what should be done? Devotional service. Important aspect is to understand who the Lord Krishna is, who this personality is. Because we have forgotten, right? We have forgotten who is Krishna, and that is the reason we are Krishna. And when we understand who is he, and when we understand that we are his part and parcel, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai living entity is my part and parcel, he says. So when he says my part and parcel, so at that time, we can understand we are part of him. Right? We have part of him. Like for example, this hand is a part of this body. Yes? So when this hand is cut out, do you think there will be any use of this hand when it's cut? Or maybe it's difficult to imagine? Okay, we'll take a tree. So in a tree, when the leaf falls down, now the leaf is no more a part of the tree. Do you think the leaf will be fresh? No. The leaf will get dried up. Right? Similar is our situation. Since we have gone, we have cut off ourselves from the Supreme Person in our consciousness, we have forgotten him, we are not happy in this world. That's the reason. So in this way we understand that we are part and parcel of Krishna, and the day we realize that we are part and parcel of Krishna, yes, when we understand this particular aspect, and when we start practicing devotional service, so at that time this attraction principle we just discussed, that can be applied very nicely, very properly. Is that clear? Everyone, this is the attraction principle. And Krishna, the word itself, it means all attractive. It itself means, Krishna itself means all attractive. So now, if Krishna is all attractive, he's almost like a magnet, a big giant magnet. And we are all like minute iron filings here and there. Okay. Now, you get a magnet to the iron filings. What will happen? It will get attracted. But we all are iron filings, and Krishna is a big magnet. Why are we not getting attracted? When does the iron filing not get attracted to the magnet? Huh? When it is covered with rust, correct? At that time, because of that covering, the iron filing will not get attracted to the magnet. Similarly, we are covered with lust. And so, we are not getting attracted to Krishna, the big magnet. So, it is not the problem of the magnet, it is the problem of the iron filing. Right? There is a problem of the iron filing. There is all of us. So, Krishna is naturally attractive. There is a very nice verse which comes in one of the Puranas. You can maybe repeat. Aishwaryasya samagrasya Viryasya yashashriya Jnana vairagyoschaiva Sannam bhagam itingana. What makes Krishna attractive? There are many, 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 many things. But logically to analyze, there are six things that Parashara Muni has given. What are these six things? Krishna has got six things in full, six opulences in full. First, Aishwarya, wealth. He's all wealthy. So you can imagine, there's one shloka from Brahma Samhita which says that Sahasra Lakshmi are serving Krishna in the spiritual world. Here people run around behind one Lakshmi. Yes, they do so much of worship, and even in the altar, if you don't find any other photo, surely you'll find Lakshmi's photo. Lakshmi Devi's photo. People are so crazy about her. But she is serving Krishna. In fact, I was reading in one of the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam. So in that it is mentioned, these Lakshmis, you know what they do in Vaikuntha? Now Vaikuntha is fully clean. Now Vaikuntha is made, you know, it's described that Vaikuntha is made up of beautiful, very, very precious stones and metals and so many other things. Now there is nothing to do. So you know what these Lakshmis do? So there's not one Lakshmi, there are many, many goddesses of fortune. Now just to attract or get some mercy of Krishna or Vishnu, they take a broom and just keep brooming. There's no dust. They're just brooming. This is a service that they're doing there. You can imagine they're serving Krishna. So many Lakshmi. So how wealthy he is. Second, Virya. What is Virya? He's all strong. All strong. You can imagine in Krishna Leela, when this Krishna, 7-year-old, he's young, so 7-year young. Yes. When he lifted Govardhan for 7 days and 7 nights, he was there. He was not making faces. You have seen Atlas, that big globe, and then he's sweating. He was not doing that. Very nicely, he just lifted. And not just lifted, he was standing in a nice pose. In fact, it's described with the other hand, he was playing flute also. And under the Govardhan mountain, there was a festival that was going on. People were singing and dancing and things like that. And Krishna there, he also started dancing, holding that. And it's described, people went crazy, or why is it moving? Yes. So okay, that is the strength of Krishna. That is Viryasya. Yashaha, that is famous. He's famous, all famous. In this world, a person might be famous for some time. Let's take up any celebrity in the past. You ask your grandparents, who was your favorite celebrity? They'll tell some name which might have never heard also. Correct? So why is it so? The same person was so famous, the fame got mixed up, diluted. And now there's nowhere, mixed in oblivion. Right? But even today, it's 5,000 years Krishna did his pastimes in Golok, in Bauma Vrindavan, that is in Mathura. And even today people discuss. And what are the pastimes that are discussed? How did Krishna steal butter? How did Krishna lie? How did Krishna steal clothes? And obviously, how did Krishna give Bhagavad Gita? And so on and so forth. We don't discuss any personality stealing and lying and things like that from the past. Right? This is the fame of Krishna. Even now and even in the future, this will be discussed. This will be eternal. This is called fame. If anyone wants to become famous, we should be like that. Obviously, we cannot become. In fact, it is said, why to strive to become famous in this world, which is temporary? Why to try or endeavor or work hard to become famous in this world, which is temporary? Try to become famous in that world, which is permanent. Yes, our fame will remain for long. That is spiritual world they're talking about, by practicing bhakti. There's three qualities. What are the first three? First, all wealthy, all strong, and all famous. Then Shriyaha. Shriya basically means all beautiful. Now you can imagine Krishna's beauty. Just for you all, to make you all imagine what is beauty, let me give you some examples of this. Now, when Krishna would walk early in the morning with his cows, to enter the forest, because he was a gopa, or he is a gopa. So what they do? They would take all the cows for herding. So in the morning when he would go, so everyone will go crazy looking at Krishna. Crazy. It is described in one of the pastimes that there was a girl who was just married. And then she was told by her mother-in-law and sister-in-law that in the morning, every single day, there's a black serpent which goes out on the street. Don't see that black serpent. If you see that black serpent, your life will be destroyed. So was the thing that was told. Now early in the morning, when the sound of cows were heard, when the sound of flute was heard, the same mother-in-law and the same sister-in-law who warned this girl, they went near the window and they were peeping out. Now this new girl, she was thinking, Hare, they told me not to see. Why are they seeing? And then this girl also went. And it is described, how these people would look at Krishna? No, by the way, that black serpent was Krishna. It is described that whomever this black serpent bites, that person goes crazy. Crazy, not normal crazy of this world. He'll go crazy, it means he'll become very, very happy in the its entire life. And what do you mean by biting of this black serpent? Anyone who surrenders to Supreme Personality of Godhead, or anyone who takes darshan of Supreme Personality of Godhead, he goes crazy. So everyone are looking, and how they were looking, they would start from the lotus feet of Krishna. Now Krishna is walking. Now he's going to enter the forest. Now when he's walking, so everyone will be looking at the feet of Krishna. So they're looking at the feet, they're looking at the feet, they're looking at the feet. And they're looking at the feet, and then he enters the forest. He disappears in the forest. Now they're all lamenting, why didn't we see how he was looking at the top? What was his face? How was he looking? The thing is, the beauty of Krishna's entire body is so great, you look at any part of the body, the person will get stuck at that particular place. So all these personalities, they would just keep looking at this. It's almost like in a statue. Everyone becomes like a stone, and only thing that moves is these two eyeballs. This is the beauty of Krishna. It is described in this world. You might have seen in the cartoons, there's something called as Cupid. Kamadev, who is also called as Madan in Sanskrit. So in cartoons you might have seen a small boy with wings, and you know, there'll be some arrows, and then he'll have in his quiver there'll be some arrows, and he'll have a bow in the hand. Yes. And then as soon as there is a girl and a boy looking at each other, then he'll shoot arrows at both. And in cartoons this used to happen, where the big heart sign will come and they both will come together, and etc. Yes, that's actually true. There's someone called Kamadev actually exists. So this Kamadev, it is described that he is very beautiful in this material world. He is very, very beautiful. So he thought, let me go and shoot these arrows to Krishna. Now Krishna was looking on the other side, and this personality, Kamadev, he was sitting on the tree. So he was holding the arrow and the bow, and then he was aiming at Krishna. He was waiting for Krishna to turn. Okay? He was waiting. Now when he was waiting for Krishna to turn, Krishna turned, and as soon as he saw the beauty of Krishna, he just fainted from the tree. Since Krishna enchanted even Madan, he's called as Madan Mohan. So his name is Madan Mohan also. This is beauty of Krishna. This is beauty of Krishna. Only because we are not attracted to Krishna's beauty, unfortunately we get attracted to people of this world. So since boys, you know, I can say, unfortunately we get attracted to the opposite gender, you know, who normally puts at least some centimeters of makeup on the face. I was watching some person had forwarded me a video in that. So one female, she was removing her makeup. Okay. It's live also, but TK will describe. So, in that, she was removing her makeup. So, she took a cloth and she started wiping. For a long time, she started wiping, and some literally solid stuff started falling down from the face. Okay. So, there was thick covering that was there on the face. And then there were some clips that was put, some cellotape that was put like this to make it, you know, look good, you know, cheeks. And then there was something that was put to make the eyes also, you know, beautiful. And then there was some hair that was put here, and you know, that was curled very nicely. And everything was removed, and even something was put on the teeth also, which made the teeth look beautiful. That was also removed. And then finally, the actual picture was, she was like really, really ugly with two teeth outside. And so this entire video was shown, and there was one boy who was watching that. He fainted after seeing that. This is the beauty of this world. And you tell me, any person can remain beautiful till the last point? There are many, many celebrities, female celebrities, who are called as evergreen. And this evergreen beauty, that also has got wrinkles at the end and becomes ugly. That's how it is. That's how it is in this world. But Krishna is all beautiful, all the time. And he attracts everyone. Only because we are not attracted to Krishna, we are attracted to anything and everything of this world. How many we covered? He is all wealthy, all strong, all famous, all beautiful. Now, Jnana, he is all knowledgeable. Krishna is all knowledgeable. Simple example. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this Bhagavad Gita session that we are having every Saturday evening, we cover one shloka and we struggle to understand that shloka. In fact, when we recite the shloka, people struggle to repeat also. In fact, same is my case also. I don't know Sanskrit, so same is my case. I also struggle to chant some shlokas. But Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, within approximately 45 minutes straight, he gave Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And Arjuna was asking questions, live questions were going on. It's almost like an anchor going and asking a person, "To aapko kya lagta hai?" Yes? What is your feeling? What should we do? And live answers are coming out. And these questions were not normal questions. If you see in Bhagavad Gita, they're so tricky questions that Arjuna is asking. Really very difficult. Sometimes people read Bhagavad Gita and they say that, oh, it's very difficult to understand. Because difficult questions were asked, difficult answers are given. Yes. And all thanks to Srila Prabhupada who has made it so easy for all of us. So all of us, now when we read Bhagavad Gita, it's so simple. So in this way we see that Krishna just gave like this. And he also says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, please repeat. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedaishya sarve rahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda vit eva chaham. Now you understood how how knowledgeable Krishna is. I gave you a demonstration, but that was not my goal. So Vedavit Eva Chaham, Vedanta Krit Vedavit Eva Chaham. Krishna says, all the Vedas, I am the compiler of all the Vedas, I am the knower of all the Vedas. And Krishna also says in another shloka, I know the past, the present and the future of everyone in this entire creation. He says that. That is called all knowledgeable. It's not about you know some facts of this world and then no, you don't know the facts of other worlds. There's no point. No, such a person is not knowledgeable. So, five are covered. Sixth one is Vairagya. Vairagya means renunciation. You see Krishna's renunciation. Now just imagine, any person who has these five things, what are those? All wealthy, all strong, all famous, all beautiful, all knowledgeable. Just imagine if any one of you would have got at least three of it, three chodo, at least one of it, you would have never come to Saturday evening program. See, if you have any of these qualities, what will happen? Automatically, the person will be so proud, I am the person, I am the only one, every one of my servants. That is the mood, right? You see, any person who is very strong, any person who is very beautiful, or any person, whatever we discussed, if any person, wealthy people, you take a wealthy people for that matter, sometimes they don't look down also, they just keep walking. There was a nice video where a person was looking up, very wealthy, so he just got down from a very very nice posh car and he was walking and there was a pit hole that was open and he just fell down in that. So the thing is, a person will be very proud. And just imagine how much attached he will be. How much attached he will be to everything that he has. In fact, it is seen, I remember, this was in my 10th standard. So there was one of the history teacher who was there. So she came in her bike. I don't know suddenly why this thought came. So she came in her bike and we all were looking from the top. We were like relishing because she was late. So we were having fun time. And then we're looking from the window, okay, when she will come, and she came. And then she got down from the bike and maybe she met with an accident or something. And some part of the bike was broken. She removed the handkerchief, she tied the handkerchief and she kissed the bike. And she hugged the bike and then she came up. Just imagine what attachment people have. From the top we're just looking. No, hope she is okay. What she is going to teach us. This is the attachment that people have with whatever they have, right? Even you take our own example. If we lose even a single thing, or even if a person takes away something from us, you think we will be so calm and laughing? We'll make sure we'll punch that person, take that thing and then laugh. Right? That will be our situation. But look at Krishna. He made this entire world and he gave it to us. Enjoy. But he also has a trick in that. Dukkhale mashashvatam, and he said enjoy. Yes, that's what he did. Other thing, you see Bhagavad Gita, how it starts. I normally describe this and relish to describe this. So how did Krishna enter the battlefield of Kurukshetra? He sat or he came in the battlefield of Kurukshetra as the chariot driver of Arjuna. Can you imagine? A person who is having these five things in full I'm saying. In this world, even if a person has minute thing, we go crazy looking at that person. And this person has in full. And even when he had this in full, he became the chariot driver of Arjuna. And chariot driver means the person who is there at the back. Now he cannot shout in the battlefield, take left, take right, etc., etc. He kicks the person. He kicks the driver. No, he kicks left side, the chariot driver has to move the left. If he kicks right side, the chariot driver is to move right. Krishna took that position. Can you imagine the renunciation of Krishna and how humble Krishna is and how bhaktavatsal he is? He is ready to do anything for his devotees. Now tell me, who will not get attracted to such a person? Who will not get attracted? All of us. Because we are so much covered by lust. So much covered by lust. That it becomes very difficult, you know, very difficult. Abhi iron filings mein, you just imagine, if there's kilometers of rust which is there, how will you get attracted to the magnet? That is our problem. But every Saturday evening when we all come together like this and hear about Krishna and chant the holy names and dance in ecstasy, have prasadam, you know what happens? Slowly this lust which is there, it is scrubbed nicely. But kya kare, kilometers hai na? Kilometers thick, it will take some time. So it's not like in one session you come and then you heard about the Lord and then, yes, topmost. No, it will not happen. Yes. Every single day this devotional practice has to happen. Every single day we have to do mantra meditation. There is no question of missing it any day. Any day. Or else we'll never be able to understand that attraction principle, you know, which we have, which is currently there at a wrong object. We'll never be able to understand what happiness and bliss it would be to apply to the right person, that is Krishna. We'll never be able to understand that. Never. So in this way, this is the attraction principle. And why this attraction principle is applied to a wrong place? Because we have forgotten Krishna. And we can revive our attraction, we can revive that mood of getting attracted to Krishna only and only when we hear about Him more and we hear from Him. That is Bhagavad Gita. Is that clear, everyone? Yes? By the way, we were talking about Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Yes. For half an hour we spoke about Krishna. That was not there in my notes. Okay. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur is telling the priest, "Hey bhai, jaldi kar. If you want some money, take. Finished off. Finished off fast." And now priest was looking at him, what's wrong with this person? And somehow he finished it off. And as soon as it was finished, Bilwa Mangal, he got up from the place, he ran out on the roads. Now that day was a very special day. It rained very, very heavily. The entire place was flooded with water. Everywhere water. The river was overflowing. And it is described that it was almost like pillars of rains. And no one was there on the street. It was only these people. Only he. And he was there and was full of water. But look at the intensity of attraction of Bilwa Mangal for Chintamani, that he started walking that water itself. Now, where was the house of Chintamani? Chintamani's house was on the other side of the river. So every day this person would take a boat and cross and go to the other side. Okay. Now today it was, the river was overflowing. It was flooded. So there was not even a single boat that was there in the river. So you can just imagine why the boatman will be there taking a risk of his life to earn some, you know, few rupees. So you know, they just all closed up, they went home, they all were sleeping very nicely. This was evening time, by the way, what I'm describing. Late evening, because Shraddha ceremony took some time, right? Late evening. Now Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he looked and there was nothing. But then he was so determined and there's so much of intense desire to go and meet Chintamani. You know what he did? There was something which was floating. He held that thing, swam across the river and went the other side of the river. And you know what was that thing that was floating? That was a dead body of someone. He didn't realize that. He didn't realize that. He just held that body and then he swam across the river. And then from that he started running towards the house of Chintamani. She was staying in a very, you know, big house which was having a good fence around. Now this fence was really huge in height. And now Chintamani, she thought, see, it was raining heavily. Everyone has slept. You know, this person who comes every day, I don't think this person will come. Not possible. So you know what she did? She just closed all the windows and doors and she went to sleep. It was raining heavily. Normally what people do when it rains heavily? Yes. You just eat something nice, fried item, and just go to sleep. That feels very nice. So that's what she did. She just went off to sleep. Now Bilwa Mangal Thakur came and he started shouting loudly, "Chintamani!" But who will hear? No, she's sleeping nicely. and it was raining heavily. Then he had so much of intense desire, so much of intense desire to meet her. You know what he did? There's something hanging from the fence. He held that and he started climbing. And when he reached the top of the fence, he realized that was not a rope, but that was a snake. That was a snake. And from the top, when he saw that, you know, he got fearful, you know, and then he just threw and he fell down from there. He literally fell down from a good height. Now, when he fell down from a good height, he got hurt and he fainted there. And there was a huge sound. Huge sound. And as soon as the sound came, so that time, Chintamani heard, oh, something wrong. She opened her window and she found Bilwa Mangal. He was lying there. Now you see, this is the determination that Bilwa Mangal had. Now one positive thing that we can learn is even we should have this determination. Not to meet someone like this. But to attain the goal of life. And the goal of life is to break the cycle of birth and death. That is the goal of life. And to do that, you know, one has to be really, really determined, very intense. One has to be really determined, very intense. A simple thing I'll ask you. You all are there in your respective places, wherever you stay. Heavy rains in Bangalore. Everywhere it is flooded. Everywhere it's water. No one is there on the street and huge rains are pouring. From black, no, literally intense black clouds. You come out. Now 6 o'clock is the class Saturday evening. You come out at 5:30. And then you look at the clouds and there's heavy rains. No one is there on the street. And then you decide, no, I'll do what Bilwa Mangal did. How many of us would come here to attend a Saturday evening class in such a situation like what Bilwa Mangal had? Maybe if I would have been staying at a different place and I'm supposed to come here to give a class, I would have never come also. What to talk about you people coming and attending a class, right? The point that I'm making is we have to be as intense, as determined as Bilwa Mangal. Then it is possible to break the cycle of birth and death. Aisa nahi ki Saturday evening, it's 5:30 and you people are just thinking, jao ki nahi. This person will keep speaking the same thing. Goal of life is to break the cycle of birth and death. And how to do that? By practicing bhakti. And how to practice bhakti? By chanting the holy names. Same thing again and again. He says every single Saturday evening in different ways. Wahi cheez ko sunne jana hai. Chhoda raat sote acche se. Forget it. If Bilwa Mangal would have decided like that, he would have never been able to make it to meet Chintamani. Even the holy name of the Lord or bhakti itself is called as Chintamani. So even we are aspiring for a Chintamani. Yes. If Bilwa Mangal was so intense to get Chintamani of this world, how intense we should be to get Chintamani of that world. Yes. We have to be very, very intense like Bilwa Mangal Thakur. This is the determination. Determination power of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, you know, that we can take from here. Just take it aside. I want to put my legs down. So there's a nice shloka which comes again. You want to repeat the shloka? I don't want to make you all embarrassed. Chalo, we'll try. At least every Saturday we'll try to recite few shlokas by which we'll be acquainted and we'll be in line, you know, with whatever is given in our scriptures. Please repeat. Utsaha nishchaya dhairyat.
Utsaha nishchaya dhairyat.
Tat tat karma pravartanat.
Sangatyaga
sato
vritte.
Shadbhir bhakti prasidati. Oh, you people learn Sanskrit. Sab log bole abhi. The first word is very nice. First word, that is utsahan. Utsaha means enthusiastic. So a devotee has to be enthusiastic in every single situation of life to practice bhakti. Because, see, obviously there will be a lot of ups and downs, right, in our life. It's not going to be a ramp wave, you know, just going and you're enjoying your life and then bed of roses and then you're enjoying a lot. No. Now sometimes it will be up, you know, you'll be very happy, you'll come to the center. And sometimes it will be down, where you'll be literally morose and depressed. A couple of weeks back I met one of the regular participant in our Saturday evening sessions. So I met him downstairs on Sunday evening. I was coming from some place. So I met him and then I asked him, what happened? I didn't see you yesterday. He said, I'm going from a lot of problems in life. So I said, that is the reason you should come here. He said, no, I was facing so much of problems that I was not at all enthusiastic, and I couldn't make that, I couldn't get that confidence to walk till here. And that's what he said. So there will be a lot of ups and downs. That is for sure. A lot of ups and downs will be there, because that's how life is. This world is called as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, and Sukha and Dukkha are part of life. You know, you cannot do anything. So a person has to be enthusiastic both in top and down. It's not like life is going very happy, then why practice bhakti? Life is going very sad, why practice bhakti? There are many people like that. You ask them, what happened? Why are you not coming to the sessions? Oh no, actually I got promotion and I was celebrating. You ask the other person, no, why you didn't come for the session? I was depressed. I didn't get my bonus. Or I didn't get my promotion or whatever. So like this, you know, we cannot go like this up, down. We have to be like Bilwa Mangal. Very much determined and enthusiastic to attain the goal. But our goal is not as filthy. Our goal is not filthy like that of Bilwa Mangal. Our goal is really very high and transcendental. Our goal is to attain Krishna, to break the cycle of birth and death. That's really very high. Right? And anyone who does that, you can imagine, whatever I described, the six opulences, the attractive principle, a person will be able to relish that. Relish that. So we have to be always enthusiastic. This is what is the point that I'm making. And keep practice of bhakti in the first priority. Come what may, we have to make it to this place every Saturday evening. Come what may. This should be our mode. Because there will be n number of obstacles. Can you name some obstacles when you start for this place? Boliye. Huh? Permission. Oh, okay, you're a student, so. Okay, so he's saying permission. So, when you're staying at home, you need permission. Yes, others who stay in PG and, you know, flats, etc. Sleep. Nidra Devi would be like. She's very much keen to embrace you at that time. What else? But 5:30 sleeping time, huh? Maybe. What else?
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus. Okay. Yes. I was telling this in one of the Bhagavatam classes. This Thursday evening I was telling. So my mother was telling me that when I was talking to her phone. So she was telling me, see, now I saw it in the news that coronavirus is everywhere. So please make sure you wear a mask and go out. I said, I need not go out. People come in into this place. What should I do now? People come in huge numbers. What should I do? So she was like, wear mask even in the temple. Anyways. So yes, okay. That was nice. So this way, there will be a lot of obstacles. Mind will keep saying, aray, what? All these things in youth? It doesn't suit? Enjoy, Baba. But then, you know, if a person just thinks about that, thinks about lust, he'll never be able to become very happy, because when a person comes to the platform of love, he can be happy. And love can exist only between us and God. Between a living entity and Atma and Paramatma. Or living entity and Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. In this world, there is nothing called as love that exists. I'm sorry if you are loving someone. Just forgive me, don't take offense. But actually speaking, there is no love. Only thing that exists in this world is lust, or in different, you know, words we have, infatuation. Only thing that exists is infatuation. One thing that is pretty close to this aspect of living entities, love for, or the love between living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a very, very, something which is pretty close to this love is mother's love for a newborn baby. Not a grown-up baby, newborn baby. Let me make it clear. There is no ulterior motive. Now what the newborn baby will give to mother? Nothing. Now if working boys, you know, mother is very affectionate, yes, we can say that. You know? But when it comes to newborn baby, nothing. Nothing the newborn baby is going to give to the mother, but mother is so affectionate. That is something which is a bit close. But it is described, the love between, or the love that God has for all of us, is much, much greater. 10,000 times much, much greater than that love what a mother has for the child. Can you imagine this? This is the love that Krishna has for all of us. So making bhakti as first priority is very, very important. If we don't practice spirituality, you know, we have been discussing from day one of these sessions. If we don't make bhakti as first priority, we'll be stuck in the cycle of birth and death. We'll be stuck, completely stuck. right? And again, the same thing, janma mrityu jara vyadi, birth, death, disease, old age. And disease, one of the disease that is going on is coronavirus. We'll be stuck. One disease goes, other will come. And literally, this is not to joke, but this virus has really taken over. I was actually thinking, theek hai, and I was not very much worried, you know, theek hai. But then when I was hearing, you know, from a few people that, you know, in different countries, you know, there are many, many people who have died, thousands of people who have died. So that's really serious. So like this, people are suffering. People are suffering like anything. But what to do? Not everyone is as fortunate as all of us to sit here like this and discuss the higher truths of life. Because many people outside, they don't know what is the higher truth of life, right? Anyone who is intelligent, who understands the higher truth of life, no, he will actually take it to bhakti. Take up bhakti very nicely and practice bhakti or spirituality very nicely. So we are so fortunate. All of us are so fortunate. Yes. Now, she came down. Chintamani came down. Chintamani, the beautiful prostitute, she came down. And then Bilvamangal, he was lying there unconscious. She picked Bilvamangal from that place. And then somehow, with a lot of effort, she took him inside the house. And she started nursing him very nicely wherever it was hurt. You know, she was applying whatever medicine, etc., etc. And then his clothes were wet, so she was changing the clothes, and you know, she took care of him very nicely. And he was unconscious for a good number of hours. When he came back to life, when he came back to his consciousness, so at that time, Bilvamangal looked at Chintamani, and look at the shamelessness of this fellow. He has gone through so much, and when he looked at Chintamani, he was so happy. Chintamani, you're there. You're so happy. You're so happy to look at her. But Chintamani was not happy. You know, sometimes when God wants to help us out, He helps us out through anyone and everyone. It might be a watchman also on the street, or you know, in our apartment, or any person on the street. And obviously, sometimes on the street we have devotees also, who you passes, you know, please come to Saturday evening session, youth program, etc. So Lord speaks through anyone and everyone. And here, for the sake of Bilvamangal, Lord spoke through the prostitute. You know what the prostitute said? She said, the attraction that you have for me, if you had the same attraction for Hari, for Krishna, you would have been delivered from the cycle of birth and death forever. You are attracted to this bag of bones and flesh and mucus and blood and bile and stool and urine. But if you would have got attracted, or if you would be attached to the same attachment, if you would have had for Krishna or Lord Hari, you would have got delivered. And this statement of Chintamani was almost like an Akashvani for him. It was almost like, you know, something which gave him goosebumps. He heard this and he went crazy. He realized all his childhood practices, what, you know, he was doing. He realized the fact of life. He realized whatever she said. He really got goosebumps at that time. And he decided that now I'll become serious in bhakti. And that time, he just walked out of the place of Chintamani, never to be seen again in that house. Oh. And Bilvamangal Thakur, when he became a very nice devotee, he writes in one of his book that one of his guru was Chintamani. Because Chintamani actually gave him a right direction. Yes. Now you don't go around searching for such a person. Youth, I'm always scared, you know, to give any lesson from such topics. You'll say, Prabhuji said that Bilvamangal got the instruction from Chintamani, who was so and so. So if I want to get instruction, so I have to approach. We have Bhagavad Gita for that. And fortunately, we have a discussion like this every Saturday evening. Why do we need to go around anywhere, not to get any instruction? We are so fortunate. Krishna has put all these instructions for all of us in the form of Bhagavad Gita, which is nicely described and made it very, very easy by Srila Prabhupada. And all around the world, people are taking up to bhakti, hearing this instruction. That this world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam, and people are stuck in the cycle of birth and death. Why suffer? Enjoy. Enjoy by taking up bhakti And all over the world the people are taking up to bhakti. See the beauty. See the beauty. Everywhere, everywhere. You know, in China, in Pakistan, in Russia, in South Africa, US, UK, every single place. In fact, some people whom I know, they keep traveling a lot, business tours. They tell this, that anywhere and everywhere we go, we find devotees. There's no problem of prasad. No, we just tell them that, you know, we are coming, please make prasad, and they make. This is what has happened. Because everyone has got this instruction. I think most of the people in the world, or most of the fortunate people of the world have got this wonderful book of Bhagavad Gita, and when they have started reading it, they have realized. In fact, one person was committing suicide. And then, this was in the hotel. I'm sure the hotel manager is not knowing that this person is doing something like this in the room. But he took a room and then he went inside the room and then, you know, he was trying to hang himself. Now he was totally morose and depressed in life, and then he was planning to hang himself. You know what ISKCON devotees do? They go around everywhere and they distribute Bhagavad Gitas, especially in the month of December. So we normally, you know, all the ISKCON devotees, what we do is we go to hotels and, you know, we ask them, would you like to take Bhagavad Gitas and keep in every room? So they do. We distribute books in libraries. Recently, you know, we distributed almost 1,700 books in government schools for free. And we were so happy. You know, I was there personally distributing the books. The kids were so happy to receive the Bhagavad Gitas. So happy. So like this, you know, ISKCON does, you know, distributing of these Bhagavad Gitas all over the world like this. And till now, I've told this before also, till now we've distributed 50 crore plus Bhagavad Gitas all around the world. So like this, you know, one of the Bhagavad Gita was there in that room, in that guest house. So this person said, see, anyways I'm going to die. People say that, you know, there's answers to all the questions of life. Let me get some answers to my life, some questions of my life, and then I'll hang myself. This person, he took a Bhagavad Gita. Be aware, if you're committing suicide, don't do this. Don't read Bhagavad Gita. So this person, he took a Bhagavad Gita, he started reading Bhagavad Gita, and then he was so inspired in life, he got so much of enthusiasm. This is a real time, I'm not making up a story, it's a real time. He got so much of enthusiasm that, you know, he came out, you know, of that place, and he rejected that idea of committing suicide. He just gave up that idea of committing suicide. This is the beauty. This is the beauty of the instructions given in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna himself, and made it very easy by Srila Prabhupada for all of us. So we need not go searching for anyone like Chintamani. We have already one Chintamani, which is the Bhagavad Gita, the touchstone for all of us. So after getting this, Bilwa Mangal became a completely transformed person. Completely transformed. In fact, I'm sure all of us sitting here, if you have been attending these sessions for quite some time, I see few faces, you know, which are quite familiar. I would like to ask you all, what transformation you have seen in your life after coming to these sessions? Anything, you know, simple. It need not be like, I became completely surrendered to Krishna, I became a very big devotee. No, simple, simple things. Whatever transformation you have seen in your life. You want to share something?
Controlling anger.
Literally, I tell you, people are spending a huge amount to psychologist, psychiatrist, just not to get down this anger. And this is not one person saying. I've heard this many people. Many people coming to our sessions, you know, they say this. I was short-tempered, now I'm not. By the way, even I was short-tempered. You can ask my mother. She'll tell you. What else? Anyone? Any transformation that you have seen? Yes?
Avoiding distractions.
People become so focused. Yes, I agree with Subrato. You become very focused. What else? Because mantra meditation is very powerful. Very, very powerful. You can become focused in your life. What else?
Controlling urges.
Very difficult. Very difficult to control urges. Now, as soon as that urge, any urge comes to us, it becomes very difficult to control. We are just pulled by that urge. Doesn't matter is it good or bad, but we are just pulled and we just end up doing it. Yes, controlling urges. You get that controlling power. Anyone else? Becoming more confident in life. See, becoming more confident in life. In fact, I have got, that person is not here, so I can say. So this person who came to meet me, this was last year, last to last year, after Janmashtami, just after Janmashtami, he came to me, and then, you know, we were talking, and then, you know, he was into complete depression at that time, complete depression. And then now, you know, when he's taken up bhakti, he's so confident. And then, you know, so confident that he now, you know, helps the depressed people to come out of their depression. Yes. We become confident in life. What else?
Self-motivation.
Self-motivation. You don't need motivational talks. You can do it. Don't need. Now you go so motivated from within. Now every phase of your life, you know, we are able to do it ourselves. In fact, I've seen many devotees, many youth devotees who are practicing bhakti every single day. They're able to motivate themselves in every single situation. Be it the worst of the worst situation of life, they're able to come out of it very nicely. Yes? Anything else? Last point?
Developing patience.
Developing patience. This is something which is very, very much missing in this world. Patience. Simple example. Lift. I normally give this. You press the button. The lift is there on the 7th floor and the lift is coming down and you're so impatient, you keep pressing the button. Yes? As if the lift is going to jump from there directly. It's going to come 7, 6, 5. But still, you know, we're so impatient. We get a lot of patience, true. And the test of your patience is sitting in my classes for 2 hours. Look at your patience, all of you are sitting so nicely without moving yourself much. So this is there. Sitting at one place and chanting. I've seen this many youth boys, they, you know, get this quality of patience so much so that they're able to do their work sitting at one place with so much of focus and confidence and achieve, you know, whatever they want to achieve. This is the beauty of practicing bhakti. And obviously, that is not the goal of bhakti. Goal of bhakti is to attain Krishna, to break the cycle of birth and death. All these things are byproducts. Correct? You can see transformations in yourself. I am not speaking something from some scripture written some thousands of years back. I asked you all and you said so many things. Similar transformation was there in the life of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. He became such a gem of a person. Such a gem. Such an amazing person. Such an amazing devotee. He accepted a guru. His name was Somagiri. He accepted a guru. And then when he accepted a guru, he started following the instructions of his guru. He wrote a very nice book on the glories of Vrindavan, on the leelas of Krishna. And it was so amazing that his guru was so happy with that book. So happy. And he gave him the title Leela Shuka. Shuka means parrot. Leela means pastimes. So a parrot who narrates the pastime. So he gave him the title Leela Shuka. And then he blessed him. You can go to Vrindavan and practice your bhakti. You see, blessings are very, very important in life. Very, very important. You believe it or not. You believe it or not, blessings are very, very important. If you don't have blessings, especially of your superiors, especially the ones who are practicing bhakti very nicely, if you don't have their blessings, their prayers, you cannot advance in any walk of your life. You cannot. Especially in bhakti. If you really want to have some taste in practicing bhakti, you want some taste in chanting, you have to have blessings of superiors who are practicing bhakti very nicely. Right? So he got that blessing and he started walking towards which place? Vrindavan, not Chintamani's house. He started walking towards Vrindavan. Now, so it was obviously a long journey. You can imagine from south he's going to north. He's supposed to go to Vrindavan. He started walking. So many days, many weeks passed. So morning times he would keep walking, and night times he would stay at someone's house. Now this was the culture previously, that any sannyasi, you know, would be allowed to sit, would be allowed in the house, and he'll be taken care of very nicely. Nice prasadam will be given, and that person will be taken care of, place will be given to sleep, and etc. etc. Once, a very unfortunate day for Bilwa Mangal, very unfortunate. He came to the house of a merchant. It was night, and he asked, like every night he would do, he asked this person if he can stay in his house, and then he was allowed. You know, these impressions that are there in the mind, whatever impressions we have, will pop up every now and then, even if we have left those activities. Bilwa Mangal had forgotten everything about Chintamani and all the activities that he did. But guess what? These impressions of the mind, this culprit mind, will not allow a person. Bilwa Mangal now got attracted to the beautiful wife of the merchant. But even after the entire story, even after going through an entire cycle, this person again came back to square one. He got attracted to the wife of the merchant, who was very beautiful, and he was having an eye on her and he wanted to enjoy her lustily. And this is what the wife told to the merchant. The wife came to the merchant, to her husband, and she said, "This person has lusty eyes on me. What should I do?" Then, you know what the merchant said? This is how people were. He said, "Now go and serve him the way he wants." And the wife was also very, very faithful. She was so chaste. She said, "Whatever you say, I will do. I can give my life also for you." And she went. She went to that room, and Bilwamangala was very happy. He was very happy. See, this is what happens. This is what happens. You know, whatever nonsense we have done in the past, even when we come to bhakti, this will pop out. You know, like this, everything will pop out. Yes. Bilwamangala was happy, and suddenly a thought dawned on him, and he became very grave and serious. And a thought came, and his guru spoke from within. Krishna is there as Paramatma in his heart, in everyone's heart. And no, Lord spoke from the heart as guru, as Chaitya guru. And he said, "Don't do this again. You have done this before. How many times you would do?" This is the voice which all of us get. All of us get when we go to commit something wrong. Isn't it? And we call it as guilt. Yes, we call it as guilt. The feeling of guilt comes and the Paramatma speaks and tells us, "Don't do this. Don't do this." But the difference between Bilwamangala and us is, Bilwamangala heard it, we don't hear. We say that, "No, I know better than you, just keep mouth shut." This is what we tell Paramatma. No, I know better. I know better. Bilwamangala heard it. And now Bilwamangala became so sad and so morose. And he was like, he was not understanding what to do. He was so angry on himself. She came, that beautiful lady came, and Bilwamangala said, "Can you give me one thing? Can you give me hairpin from your hairs?" She was like, "Arek, I expected something else." "Okay, take it, take it." He took those hairpins and he just plucked his eyes then and there in front of that lady. He literally bursted his eyes, telling, "How can I do this again? Instead of getting attracted to Krishna, again I'm getting attracted to something filthy of this world." How many of us can do this? You get attracted to someone with a hairpin. By the way, nowadays they don't use hairpin also. you all became very serious, I thought. To relax yourself. This is what he did. We cannot do this. But what to do? Even, these past impressions will pop out. All of us. I'm sure, you people have come here. It means, you all are pious. You all are, really want to live a good life. You want to live a holistic life. But whatever nonsense we have done in the past, which we are not knowing, unknowingly we have done or knowingly we have done, but now we don't want to do. Now we are here. But still, those impressions on the mind, which are called as samskara, will not leave us. It will just pop out of nowhere. You will not understand also. Where it's coming from? You will not understand also. But if we are there in the association of devotees like this and practice bhakti every single day chanting the holy names of Krishna, what do we chant? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Every single day when we chant this 108 times on the beats, sitting at one place, for sure we will be able to overcome these problems that we have. And there are many, many people who have overcome so many bad habits, so many. So many of my students have overcome. I'm so confident to say this. Yes. Anyways, it will happen. So many of them, and when they come and report that, Prabhuji, I was stuck to this, I was addicted to this, now I overcome this. That's the bliss. That's the result that they get. Live examples I'll give you. Prabhupada, when he went to West, people were drug addicts, people were woman monglers, they would have open sex, they would have alcohol, they would have cigarettes, and they were like just there as rogues out there. And when Prabhupada went there, and when Prabhupada gave them the message of Bhagavad Gita, and when they started following Prabhupada, when they started following the instructions of Prabhupada, when they started practicing bhakti, all of them just gave up all those things like this in no time. And today those people are so pure that they are, you know, most of them are pujaris at so many places, most of them are preachers of Bhagavad Gita. Can you imagine this? This is the beauty of bhakti. This is a miracle of bhakti. Anyone who takes to bhakti, anyone who chants the holy name of Krishna, whatever the problem the person is going through, or whatever he wants to overcome in his life, whatever his mind is not allowing him to do, he will get that strength to do that. And obviously, the goal of life is not this, it's just a byproduct. And one will be able to attain the goal of life of breaking the cycle of birth and death just by chanting. So this is what he did, right? And in this way, you know, he heard the voice from within. He heard, you know, the instruction of his guru. He remembered the instructions of his guru. He did this act for his entire life. Now this personality, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, was blind. Completely blind. But still, this person had so much of determination. He started walking towards Vrindavan even in this situation. He reached Vrindavan. He reached a place called Brahmakund. We'll discuss what is Brahmakund sometime in some session. And he started practicing bhakti intensely on the banks of Brahmakund. Now Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he cannot go around, he cannot do his work, he cannot see. What will he do? He cannot see. He cannot walk from one place to another. Where will he go and beg? But there was one Rajvasi boy, one boy from that village. Every day he would come and he would give the food or prasad to Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Every single day. And every single day this boy would help Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Was holding his hands and taking him from one place to another for resting at night, for sleeping. And to do his various activities the entire day. This boy would help. Every single day. One day, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he was in his meditation. And he could realize that this boy is none other than Lord Krishna himself. When he realized this, so at that time, he held the hand of the Lord. And it was actually Lord Krishna. He played the flute also. There was a proof for it. He held the hand of the Lord, and somehow Lord, you know, escaped, and he was laughing. Lord was laughing, Krishna was laughing, and just escaped from there. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur at that time, one of my favorite shlokas, you know, which I relish a lot. We all can chant this. Please chant. Hastam akshepya yatosmi. Balat Krishna kim adbhutam. Hridayad yadi niryasi. Paurusham ganayamite. Bilwa Mangal Thakur is challenging Krishna. He is saying, oh, he says, Hastam akshepe yatosmi balat Krishna kim adbhutam. You have somehow freed your hand and you ran away from me. Oh Krishna, what is so great in that? What is so great in that? If you are really strong, this is how devotees talk to Krishna. He says, Krishna, if you are really strong, if you really want to prove your paurusha, your strength, escape from my heart and see. Then I'll accept that you're strong. This is how the devotees are. This is how they bind Krishna in their hearts. We have to reach this state someday. We have to. And look at this. Since Bilwa Mangal Thakur was so determined to practice bhakti, Lord himself was coming and helping him every single day. Even when we are not determined to practice bhakti, but still Lord is helping us. Lord is helping even atheistic people. Lord is helping everyone. Lifetime after lifetime. At night when we close our eyes and go to sleep, with what guarantee are we sleeping that next day morning we are going to open our eyes? Who is giving that energy? Who is pumping that blood from the heart? Who is helping us to breathe? Have you all ever taken a very serious observation on your breath when you are sleeping? You can just observe the other person is snoring. But you cannot observe what you're doing. Right? But we are so confident at night, we just go to sleep. You just go to sleep. He is the one who does that every night. What about night? Every single day he does that. Entire day as Paramatma, he does that, you know, for all of us. He is the one who gives us energy. Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He gives knowledge. He says, I am there in everyone's heart and I give matta smriti. Smriti means remembrance. Jnana, knowledge. Apohanam, forgetfulness. All of you, for sure, all of us have gone through different turmoils in our life. All of us. Some small one, big ones, whatever. But we don't remember that. You see? Only when you think about it, sitting at one place, when you have nothing to do, and then you'll remember and, feel bad about it. But normally, day-to-day life, we don't remember. This is the mercy of Krishna. Makes us forget that situation, so that we remain happy. At times, out of nowhere, and I'm sure you might have noticed this, in very various situations, somehow from nowhere, some fantastic idea will come. Fantastic idea. Who is giving that? You're not the one. We are not the one. We have no qualification. We have no strength to get some fantastic idea. We are just, this body is just a bag of flesh and bones and pus and mucus and bile and stool and urine. From where these ideas will come? Krishna is the one who is giving these ideas. And then, this is not the first time all of you are sitting here and hearing me. Or this is not the first time that all of us are coming together and discussing Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. I know you have come for last sessions also, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about lifetime. This is not the first time, this is not the first life in which you're coming like this to hear about Krishna or to hear Bhagavad Gita. From so many lifetimes we have been doing this. So many lifetimes. So many lifetimes we have been attending such sessions and so many lifetimes we have been relishing these sessions. But what to do? The energy, the Maya Shakti of the Lord is so strong that it pulls us out. Or our mind is so strong that it pulls us out of bhakti. And then we say, theek hai, chalo, bahut kar liya abhi. Bahut Saturday sessions kar liya, bahut chanting kar liya, abhi thoda relax. Hang out. Hang around. And enjoy this and that, etc, etc, whatever. Yes. Mind says that. So when, it was my convocation in Bits Pilani, I had gone for my convocation, I forgot the year. Yes. So I had gone and then there were a few people who would come to my room for sessions. So in my hostel room such sessions would happen. Every morning and evening. So at 7 o'clock I would take a session. So there will be 15 people. Evening also we would have some people. So we would come together in my room, in my hostel room, and then we would chant. We would have a class both morning and evening. Every day. Even during exams we used to have. That was blissful. Really blissful. So at that time I was doing masters. So this boy who was doing BTech. So he was one of my very nice students, so he was there, he was coming. And then for a good 6 months we were not in touch. I came to Bangalore for working and then he was there. I think he was there in second year when he used to come to my room. And then he came to third year. And then after 6 months, when I go to my college there and then convocation is done, etc., then I'm out. I meet this person. I told everyone, I'm coming, so let's meet. And we all came together. We had a session in another hostel room. And then I met this boy. He was not there in the session. I was walking back to some place and then I saw him. I said, I didn't see you in the session. How are you doing? You're doing well? He said, yes, I'm doing well. I said, how about your spiritual practices? Bhakti, how are you doing? I did it, Prabhu. I did it for 6 months. Now enough. I've done enough. And anyways, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, wherever you leave your bhakti, that's what you'll continue from in your next life. So I left it here. Next life, I'll continue now. Let me do it in installments. This is what has happened with us from so many lifetimes. And you look at this. Krishna inspires us every lifetime. Arey bas kar baba, kitna time pass karega? Ja, go Saturday evening, go attend some session and get some sadbuddhi. Go there and here. And you see, this is many of the people who come to this place, they have said this. Out of nowhere, we have landed up in this place. One boy came and then he just saw, he was googling and somehow he got ISKCON Whitefield and then he just ends up here and it happens to be a Saturday evening youth session. And you're so happy. I think now he's in US. doing his, he's working there now. So he was so happy. So happy that, you know, I came here, and then, you know, he got the sessions, and then he was like, towards the end, he said, I really thank the Lord, he directed me here. And then, you know, even another person, he said, I was just hanging around here, I heard the kirtan that was going on, I was inspired to come up to see what is happening. And then it happened to be, you know, one of the sessions that was going on here. Lord pulls us like this. Or sometimes, through his agents, he pulls us. Like some people might have come in your life, they would have given you pass. Please come for Saturday evening session. And you see, you might not be very much interested, but somehow that point of time you became interested, you took a pass. Let's see. So in this way, Lord has been inspiring us from lifetime after lifetime. It's almost like, I say this, you know, in whenever I speak about this, it's almost like Krishna is giving us a gift, and we are like using it for some time, and we're just throwing it. Just imagine, you give me a gift. It is a Saturday, and you give me a gift next Saturday. No, you find that gift somewhere lying in the ground floor in the garbage. How will you feel? Like, how arrogant this person is. Okay, if he sits on Vyasasana and speaks, what does it mean? He'll throw my gift? Look at Krishna. Every lifetime he gives us this gift of bhakti. Every lifetime. And we just throw it. But every lifetime he comes back and he gives. Either he personally gives, or he sends some people in our life, or somehow or other he pulls us back to bhakti. See this. It's almost like every lifetime we're kicking him on the face, and he's like, no, no, you're my child. You know, it's okay, you're kicking me, it's okay. But at least come now. This is what Krishna does every single life. Every single life. So everyone is helped. Not only Bilva Mangal, that, you know, Krishna was coming and giving him food, etc., etc. Every single person, every single living entity gets food. You see? Every single living entity gets food. Forget about food. No, spiritual life is more important. Anyways, you come to sessions, you get food also. Yes. So every lifetime, this bhakti, the gift of bhakti, is gifted, you know, to everyone. But it's up to us how much we use it. So it was not just Bilva Mangal who was getting personal help of Krishna. Everyone sitting here, including me, gets personal help of Krishna. Every single day. I'm not talking about once in lifetime or something. Every single day. You know what's the problem? We are not able to recognize the hand of Krishna in our life. We cannot. Our problem is, we come to temple. Our problem is, we come to temple and we tell Krishna, can you please give me this? And then, you know, if our karma doesn't support, we don't get it. And then we're like, there's no God. He didn't give me. I asked him so intensely. Right? So in this way, we see that Krishna helps us, you know, every lifetime. Right? But now, there might be a question to all of you all, that, okay, Bilva Mangal, you know, he had so much of bhakti, so much of intense faith, and then he was practicing nicely, but I am not like that. You know, I have my own responsibilities, and then I'm stuck in some problems of life, and I don't have that much of taste to practice bhakti. Somehow I finish my rounds. Somehow I finish my chanting. Right? It doesn't matter. You know, even in the blind state, Bilva Mangal wrote a book called Krishna Karanamrita, a very, very high level book, which we'll not understand also, which talks about the glories of intimate associates of Krishna. He was blind at that time. He wrote it. If Krishna desires, he will give, you know, that empowerment to anyone and everyone to practice bhakti. Only thing that is needed is be in association like this and practice bhakti. Outside, when we go, it's very difficult. No, who is practicing bhakti outside? No one is practicing. It's so difficult. Right? When we come in association like this and when we practice bhakti, it makes a lot of sense. When we see others, oh, okay, no, everyone is practicing, let me also take it up. Right? So in this way, you know, we can practice, you know, bhakti in the association of devotees. And we can learn all these things from the life of Bilva Mangal Thakur. You see how the entire story got twisted? It was going in some different directions, completely U-turn. Completely went in some other direction. He was going to the house of Chintamani, and Chintamani gave him a slap, and then he went to Vrindavan. This session, you know, should be a slap on our faces. If we are going in some other direction, you know, we should take a U-turn now and come back to Krishna. So I would like to end here. And yes, you had some question.
Okay, this ISKCON Srila Prabhupada established in 1966. Okay, so you said where you are leading Krishna consciousness, that is the ISKCON and next birth you are starting from there. But ISKCON was established in 1966. Maybe in another form, another way you are remembering Krishna. Maybe not through ISKCON.
Okay, I'm not talking about that, which organization you started with. I said, that wherever you leave bhakti, in whichever consciousness level, okay, suppose you are at the level of 10, your bhakti practice is of the intensity 10, okay, in the next life you start from the next one.
Krishna bhakti?
Yeah.
Marwadi
is so pious. Marwadi is so pious. Yes.
We regard as for us Lord Krishna is the biggest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we worship many gods.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even our Pitta Deva. That doesn't mean that you are somewhere small. Maybe you are.
Who told you are small? Someone told you?
No.
No, right? Huh?
We are association with them also. It's a bigger, good association. Because they are also doing quite a lot for the society.
Okay, so what is the point?
I want to clarify this, it's not necessary you should be, it is only...
Actually, okay, I got the point. Yeah.
So any association, like there are many good things also coming now. I heard about pranic healing also. That is also teaching about the higher authority, Parabrahma, Paraprabhu. They are also telling Lord Krishna is the biggest and he gives energies. So like you can heal people through those energies and if you are doing something good, so that is also you are doing a service for mankind and you are going closer to Krishna. This is what I mean to say.
Okay. So, you are correct. There is no point. There is no, there is nothing wrong in that. But one thing is clear. Why ISKCON is flourishing all over the world is because the basis of ISKCON is Vedic scriptures, especially Bhagavad Gita, which is not the case with many of the organizations. Some places we see that it might be a concoction of some mortal personality. So some personality might have given his own philosophy and people are working on that. But in ISKCON, every single thing, even whatever I spoke or the deity worship, the standards that is followed, the prasadam that is distributed, the way it is cooked, everything has scriptural injunction and it is followed like that. So that is the beauty here. But yes, as you rightly said, we can practice bhakti anywhere. Yes, you can practice bhakti provided you know how to do it. Provided you have guidance, a bona fide guidance. SNA, you go to any organization which says spiritual, and then you start feeling, and you go to any spiritual organization, so called, and you'll feel it is bona fide. But only when you read scriptures, you'll understand what is bona fide. And the goal of life is to break the cycle of birth and death. Anyone who helps us do that, we can practice. What's the problem? We can do that. Because goal of life is that, nothing else. We have to break the cycle of birth and death. That is what the human form given for. So you're correct, Mataji.
What's the guarantee? Somebody's coming every day and day and night. What's the guarantee?
There's so many people. There's so many people who have attained this. So many realized souls have said this. This is the problem with us, who are all of us. You're not the only one who asks this question. Many people ask this question. It's frequently asked question. What is the guarantee? Har cheez mein guarantee chahiye hame. No doubt about this. The guarantee is, or maybe we might not see Krishna face to face now. But you were there throughout the session or you came towards the end?
No, I came in the middle.
Middle.
So I was a strong believer of Lord Krishna from my childhood. But I am not associated as such. I'm not regularly coming to ISKCON because I have three kids. I think my duty towards them is my first duty. But I will do the rose chanting. I like reading books. Doing internet.
So that doing there. So that's one and the same. In fact, it is said that sthan doesn't matter. Sthan doesn't matter. If you're qualified, you seem to be qualified, so you're doing it at home. But most of us sitting here, including me, we are not very qualified, so we need a place to come together and practice. And in this world, there are a lot of distractions, So when we come together like this in an association, it becomes very easy to practice bhakti. When you sit here, now kirtan will happen, you can attend that kirtan. It's so blissful. When you come together and do kirtan.
I don't know. We frequently have it in a week and we do a lot of things of bharas, gyanas.
I've heard about it.
The people are fully towards them, but the way of doing is little different.
That's okay.
But
that's
all. Really,
see, the Yuga Dharma is chanting. You should be chanting the holy names of Krishna. That's it. That is Yuga Dharma. So that has to be chanted. You're doing it, right? Yes, so that's there. No, that's there. That's very nice. Anyone else has any question? Mataji has asked all the questions on behalf of you. Any questions, anyone? Any reflections you want to give? Well, what are you taking from today's session?
Thank you.
I spoke for 2 hours. We have to speak something. What are you taking from today's session? Any point? Yes.
If you are going in the wrong direction,
take a U-turn. Mm-hmm. And then you can do that only in the association, by the way. Look, kaise pata chalega U-turn lena hai? Yes, correct. What else?
Identify the correct person who can guide you.
Yes, identify the correct person whom we can take guidance from. Because guidance is very, very important. Or else we'll just end up in some place and some bogus person and then we are gone. We are gone. Yes. We are very fortunate, you know, that we are taking guidance from Srila Prabhupada. We are very fortunate. Yes.
We should pray together, not exactly the Guru Mandal's determination, but some fraction of that to the Guru Mandal.
Yes, Guru Mandal's determination was dead body pakada, snake pakada, baaf. We cannot do that. We cannot do that. Correct. We cannot do that. But even if we get some fraction of determination of that, we can practice bhakti very nicely. True. What else?
We need to identify Krishna's
death. Yes. We have to see hand of Krishna in our life every single day. That is possible when we practice bhakti every single day. It is possible. You can see Krishna's hand every day now in your life. It's possible. What else?
Whenever we have lost, Krishna is always there.
Yeah, he's there. He's there. He's there. Provided, you know, you are able to distinguish between the voice of Paramatma and voice of mind. Right? Yes.
We should be careful about mind impressions.
You have left it some activity in the past, but the samskara of the past might just pop up. And then the person can go crazy. And that, again, you know, in the association of devotees, somehow, you know, we can overcome that. It's very nice. It's very nice. Anything else? Any realization? One last? Nothing. Okay, no problem. So we end our session here. So one thing that we can take from today's session is we have to be, you know, really have the determination like Bilwa Mangal Thakur and practice bhakti very nicely in the association. And one of the important ways of practicing, or the only important way of practicing bhakti, is chanting the holy names of Krishna. And I would request all of you all to make sure that every single day, at least one round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra you do. There are many of you I know who have already started chanting 4 rounds, 8 rounds, 16 rounds. But at least the ones who have come for the first time, or the ones who have been coming from last few sessions, at least start chanting one round. And you'll see the transformations that will happen in your life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.